Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole. The homie Will T is running a little late, but he'll be in the building. And we are also part of Empire Media at amppiremedia.com.
Yes, sir. We in the building.
Yeah, we are. We are.
I'm sorry for the dead space. I was making sure my microphone was on.
No, it's on. It's just that I was trying to make sure myself. I was like, I can barely hear myself, but I can tell that we're talking.
So
I can hear it.
This is my second time within the course of a week that I've spent some time with you, and I want to share because we talk about sports.
Yeah.
At times we criticize athletes, which is part of sports talk. It's part of having your own platform, which is dope. But after playing basketball for the first time in a long time and just seeing muscle memory, how that works, just trying to regain your stamina, try to get your confidence back. I said to myself, wow, I got to be careful what I say about professional athletes, considering how bad I looked when I played basketball last week.
If you don't stop doing that, man.
No. It's very interesting. It was an awesome experience because I'm all about exercise. Yeah. Like, I can go and play tennis right now, and I can lose in straight sets and could care less because I got the exercise I wanted.
Yeah.
Just like basketball, we played close to 8 games, which was amazing. Yeah. Somebody looked at me the next day and said, you played 8 games after all this time? I said, that just goes to show you that I do stay in shape. It's just from a basketball standpoint, I don't shoot the ball no more. I don't practice free throws. I don't play defense. I don't do all the things that going into playing basketball. So I said to myself, wow, it's amazing. So when people come back from rehab, like Zion, for example, I can't expect him to come back and just be that dominant dude. It's going to take a minute. Although I'm not comparing myself to him, I'm just thinking about how difficult it is to come back.
You said it's a rude awakening.
It is.
People got to take that in context of somebody maybe by injury or whatever, taking time off and then getting their rhythm back. Because I told you, before you came to the gym and was hooping, dude, you told me to rate the competition from 1 to 10. I'm not going to say what it is, but I told you that, dude, like, yo, I feel like I'm a 4.
I'm not on that level yet, honestly.
You know what I mean?
Which is interesting, but you were kind of yelling at me to shoot. You were being nice about it, even though your competitive juices are still there. Mine aren't. So when you were telling me, I was trying to find that mode. Like, okay, I can do this. Even I said something. I was like, okay, this is the third game. I should be fine by now. But I'm like, no, I'm not in my head. So it made me think about Ben Simmons. That mental block is real.
Good point, bro.
Because you were telling me to shoot, and I really didn't want to.
Yeah.
I still don't want to. And now I'm going again tomorrow. I've sucked myself into it again.
I got it because I'm talking about. I got my man to go back to hoop, man.
The fact that I'm going to be playing basketball during the NBA Finals says a whole lot about where I am.
Yeah.
I still want to get in shape. But to be 40-plus and still be able to hoop and then playing against some guys who are older than me that can move around and get up and down the court, it was dope. So, hey, sports talk is amazing, but we got to be careful. What we say, like Skip Bayless, these types of personalities, KD,
I agree
with that brother because they talk reckless sometimes. And I know they're doing their job, and they're awesome journalists.
Yeah.
I'll say that. They're great writers. I'm talking about just the debate guys of the world, the Nick Wrights, Stephen A's. But sometimes when you call somebody a bum or when you say it's an abomination or egregious and all this stuff, I think you're just going too far.
I learned a long time ago in terms of calling somebody a bum. It's funny because, you know, we're going to talk about a place that we used to go to all the time. Our gym in Laurel. I'm not going to name the place.
Yeah.
But the gym in Laurel we used to go to. And I remember somebody, like, this dude was dropping big buckets. I was like, this dude has to play, pro ball somewhere or something. Like, he got to be legit. Like, this dude, no one can mess with him.
Mm-hmm.
Dude played for Maryland, but got no playing time.
Oh, Sterling.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. No playing time.
Sterling Ledbetter.
Yes, and
actually
was one of the best, one of the best balls I've seen in person, the way he was hooping. And then I was like, that I learned from that point on.
Politics.
But I was like, you can't really call somebody a bum from just visually watching them, because when they come to your gym, they're gonna give you.
Oh yeah. Back in high school, I'm aging myself real quick. Mm-hmm. LaRon Prophet came to Duval and he destroyed us.
Yes.
But of course, when you watched him play on TV, he might average 13 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good player. But yeah, it's different. It's levels to this, my brother. It's
levels. Bro.
Which we learned in college. When we played against the half team and intramurals that was guys playing D1 basketball, it was a tough game. Even though we competed, though, which was dope.
Yeah.
Because really, you can't compete against NBA guys, too. It's just who can get out in front of those bright lights and shine. Remember, you could make 10 out of 10 threes. And then when the crowd comes in, it was rough.
It was. You know it's rough. Wow. Dude, can you like, dang, bro, can you like close the door?
This man comes in and just
like speaking, just the night.
Hold up,
room in.
Hold up, just to bring people to speak. Will T is in the building. Wole introduced that he would be late.
Yeah.
So. But for the whole like text message you sent out about the people want to know and
yeah.
What did you even say? You said something like update, confirmation. Update. It was like a big deal, breaking news type of thing. And then you came 5 minutes late. Like you
because
can't do
I'm
that.
A big deal. I'm important.
Like he on some Kanye type stuff.
I know, man. Look at him.
I mean, I don't think I'm on some Kanye stuff. I think.
If I'm going to a Kanye concert and he's late, I'm like, it's Kanye, I'm cool. But Will T, you broke the news. Like, I'll be there, and then you were late. So
I'm an important man. Outside of outside VIP. Of the show, I'm an extremely important man. I make million-dollar decisions. So, you know.
There you go, bro. You win. There you win.
And I had to make a million-dollar decision before I came over here, you know. So, that's just
all right, Jay-Z. My man, say you know? Jay-Z out here in the building early.
Empire Media. Let's get it.
All right, man. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN, Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health. In the DMV region, download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join the Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on tap.
Executing flawlessly.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Nationals. Possible they are. They're getting Steven Strasburg back on Thursday at 8:20. We'll talk NBA finals, the NBA Finals matchup between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Finally, we'll talk about Devin Haney defeating George Kambosos Jr. to become the undisputed lightweight champion. It's Kambosos, right?
Kambosos.
Really? Kambosos. I spelled that way, too.
Yes. I mean, he got jabbed to death.
Yeah, Kambosos.
Pronunciation in another country. Spelled.
Yeah, I know. It's
killing. Can be tough sometimes.
I know.
He's actually of Greek descent.
Is
yes, he is. Yep.
Oh.
Just like Giannis. Wait.
Okay. Well, let's get to the next topic. Hey, the Washington Nationals pitcher, Steven Strasburg, will pitch Thursday against the Florida Marlins. What do you think his stat line is going to be?
I think he'll get 4 or 5 innings under the, you know, during his first outing. Hopefully, you know, a couple strikeouts, maybe 5 strikeouts. So 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, mm-hmm. probably gives up 2 or 3 runs.
I see 3 runs. I do feel as though the minors are beneficial when you're trying to come back, and he started to look sharper and sharper. But again, the majors is levels, like we just talked about Wole.
Yeah.
So there are levels to this. It's going to be interesting to see how he comes out, how confident he will be, and how confident the team is in him. I feel like he's like the last of the Mohicans, so to speak.
Off of the squad.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, clean house. Everybody else is pretty much gone at this point. So I'm feeling that he's going to take some time to get warmed up. I don't expect much, but Will's prediction is awesome. I say 3 earned runs.
So on Twitter, at 2Bears podcast, a tweet, it said 4 innings, 91 pitches, 6 Ks, 4 walks, 3 hits, and 1 run.
Damn, that was a full simulation.
Yeah, I know, right? Kevin Nibley, you know, part of
yes,
Talk
sir.
Nats, cool dude, said 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. I think he'll get about... Personally, I think he'll get about 6 innings.
You think they're really going to try him out on his first start in almost a year?
I think how many pitches did he have in that AAA game? I think at 90.
No, I understand that's AAA.
Yeah,
I mean, Major League, his first one. You think he's going to try him out for 6? Yeah. You think he's going to trot him out there for 6 innings?
Depending on how he's pitching. If he's pitching well, if he's pitching well, I think he'll pitch well against the Marlins.
Davey is extremely conservative when it comes to his pitchers.
I think he needs to. Well, actually, yeah, he does.
He's not going
to
change at this point.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
But if he's rocking, he's not taking him out earlier than 6. And I believe he's going to be rocking. I think Steven's going to come in rocking. I think he's going to shut things down.
I mean, I think
Marlins score 1 run. I think he's going to be economical in his pitch with his pitches. I don't think he's going to go for all strikeouts. But I think because the Marlins are a young team, he'll probably strike out about 6 batters, go 6 innings, give up 1 run. And he'll have a nice debut.
I mean, with all the injuries we've seen like over the last 10 years since he's been in Washington, since in the majors, I think the most important thing is we want a healthy start, right? We want him to be healthy at the end of this start. No mm-hmm. shoulder tightness, no forearm injuries, no lower back injuries, nothing. We just want a healthy start.
I feel it, but they don't play.
No, I get it, but yeah. I think, you know.
You're going to play, I'm sorry.
No, I get it, but I think the most important thing that any fan of this team or fan of baseball wants is for him to just be healthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you're going to
put productive him, I mean, and healthy
how many
start.
He's missed all of, like, basically all of last year, right?
Yeah.
And most of the, like, dude, you've rested enough.
But you mean you mean beyond like the normal soreness? You don't want him to have anything beyond it, right? Of course he's going
to
be sore.
I think you have to trust the player. If he tells you that
you don't trust the player, when
well, you can trust even Steph Strasburg because he's a dude to let you know. Strasburg will let you know. That's one dude you can't trust.
Well,
he'll be like, oh,
you think
I'm
he's
not
been coddled?
His whole he has been. And he's the type of dude. He's
I mean, if we just look at the statistics from all current pitchers versus. Yeah. Pictures of earlier days, all pictures of coddled.
Yeah, but Strauss is real. Like a lot of pictures, they won't tell you. They'll hold it in. A lot of them will hold it in. And then again, I'm not knocking. Strauss is very, he thinks about his health. He does. So to me, if he's not feeling it, you've seen him come out from a blister. He felt like a blister was bothering him. Neck soreness. He'll let you know. Like, if he's not feeling it, he'll let you know.
He's Steven Strasburg. He gets a pass from me.
I know. I'm a Strasburg.
Like, I listened to you guys' conversation on last week. Uh-huh. About Davey Martinez, and of course he's getting a pass because he has a World Series championship. Yeah. So Strauss, considering who he was even before the World Series championship and who he was in that World Series itself, that was huge the way he pitched against Houston. So he gets a pass.
No, he does. No, but that's not a knock.
That's a hometown discount. But like you said, all pitchers are coddled. I want to say like the last real pitcher that I can think of from our –
That's a G?
It's like CC Sabathia. Like, that man pitched to his arm fell off.
What's his name, too? Pedro Martinez was a G. Pedro.
CC's after him, though, right?
He's talking about recent history.
Yeah, because even when, you're right, because even when,
CC was a workhorse.
CC. Oh, Clayton Kershaw.
I don't think now.
He would. No, I'm talking about in terms of, for a while, even with CC. Before CC left, said Clayton would just go. He would go. Mm. Clayton would go. Max Scherzer.
Now he's part of that group of pitchers, and Max Scherzer, to be for real,
Max Scherzer goes. Like he will pitch if you tell him he can go in and do a bullpen session. He'll pitch.
He's the closest to me. I don't know about Kershaw.
I'll give you Max Scherzer.
Yeah. It's not many. That's
no,
what
it's not a bunch
yeah,
of
Max
them.
Scherzer
no,
has
I'm not
like that mentality.
I mean, that's dudes that
they're like quarterbacks.
Yeah, there are a couple like even. I mean, when you know him, but Stroman that plays for the Cubs who played for the Blue Jays. He's a pit bull too. There's a few, but it's not a knock. Again, it's not a with me saying that's not a knock on.
No doubt on
Strasburg because I believe what I'm saying. My point is that Strasburg, if he's feeling something, he will let Davey know. Yeah, I'm good. He'll let you know I'm good.
I think Will is just right on point with. We just want to be healthy. We being Nationals fans, those who observe and analyze this team.
Will, you watch that team pitch? Man, they need him.
Oh, they need him every fifth day.
But go ahead.
That's what I was going to ask real quick, and I'll let you go, I promise. Yeah. And you can answer after. Why is he still here?
That's a great question. I'm going to be real with you. I don't even know why he's pitching the season.
That's a great – No,
I'm
keep no,
it
no,
up
no, no.
If you want me to be honest with
Let's examine Ray's question. That's a great question. This team has been – stripped down to the bare bones on the offensive side, you have Cruz, Josh Bell is playing well.
He's playing better than
a lot of people expected. And of course you have Juan Soto, right?
Struggling.
And just from
I like Juan, but he's struggling. Though.
Yeah, he is.
I got him on my fantasy baseball team, so I know this. And I got Strasburg. I need him to pitch for real.
and then you look at from a pitching perspective, you have Strasburg and you have Patrick Corbin. Corbin's been terrible.
Yeah.
To be honest.
The best pitcher on the squad has been Eric Fetty before Strasburg. And that says a lot. Yeah. That's saying a lot.
But to examine your question, Ray, like that's a very valid question if we think about it, right? If this team, we don't know what direction this team is going in from an ownership standpoint, like why still continue to pay Strasburg when he has all these injuries? Do you start to take offers for him? We know that Mike Rizzo has already said that I'm not taking any offers. We're not trading Juan Soto.
Yeah. I agree. To be honest with you, I was like, why even pitch Strasburg? I just felt like because it's not is a guy that, to me, if you kept him off the market, if you kept him off, let him, you know, rest it even more, shoot, you, if you wanted to trade him, you can trade him off of that and then let the other team get a fresh draws. Like, I feel like it's more enticing, to be honest with you, because of his injury history, than having a dude that's already pitched.
But then, you know, there's another side, I guess, that has to go into that, you know, who his agent and Juan Soto's agent is, Scott Boras. So, right, so if... What if, you know, Steven Strasburg says, no, I want to pitch, but then the management and ownership says, no, we resting you up and we want to, you know, extend your arm and possibly explore other options. Scott Boras would let that out to the media, and I guarantee you we wouldn't probably get another Scott Boras client in
the
next 5 or 10 years.
Bryce is Scott Boras too, right?
Yeah. But back to Ray's point about Stras, though. Like, he deserves it, though. If anybody deserves a chance to – Like, no, I agree with you, because I feel like that World Series holds a lot of clout for what anything Stras can do for Washington. What he did in that series.
The whole playoffs that year.
Yeah, the whole playoffs, but especially that World Series. How he shut things down, how he was – and Max, too.
He was better than Max, though.
He was better than Max in the World Series. Yeah.
But should we extend the same courtesy to Patrick Corbin? Because without Patrick Corbin in those bullpen sessions, he was extremely valuable.
The only way I agree with you. I know your point is true. The only reason why I would go against that is because of the work that, you know, that Stras has put prior with the whole organization, right? Yes. That's the only thing. But you're right, though. In that postseason. That postseason run, arguably, you could say he was as impactful as all of them, both those pitchers, because what he did in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, he would pitch well as a starter, go in the bullpen, and shut things down.
Go and pitch in the bullpen off two or three days rest.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. Y'all kind of already addressed it last week, but how long do the Nationals, the organization, the fan base hold on to this World Series victory? Because I'm looking up the road in Philly. They seem to move on pretty quickly.
They fired everybody. The Angels just fired
How long are we going to stay in this?
That's a fair question, but I'll tell you this. For a city that didn't have a team for 60-plus years, and on top of that, didn't have a championship in professional sports since the Caps. The Caps.
What happened? Saying what year was the?
The Caps was before the Nationals.
Oh yeah, then yeah. But around that same time.
No, you're right. This city needed that championship. Yeah, no doubt.
We needed it, and I think sure, there will be people. To be honest with you, right? I think 5 or 10 years, and then people will be ready to move on. Man, I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being honest with you.
People, I mean, they've already some already. We talking about like the manager.
We're still in a honeymoon phase. Like nobody's.
They turn on managers.
This is not a baseball town.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to be up in arms about a lot. But at the same time, in terms of just sports and competitors, how long do we hold on to? Well, they got a World Series. Nah, it don't work like that. At least I feel other teams who want to continue to be great and want to continue to win, they move forward pretty quickly. They have a short memory.
That's true. But this was a town that's been derived of a major championship outside of that hockey championship that the Capitals won.
And the Mystics won. We're going to count the Mystics.
No, I count the Mystics. I count that, too. That was the championship.
No, look. You're not boxing me in. You're not boxing me in. Look.
Nobody can see your face.
I'm not going to allow you to box me in, Ray. I said of the four major North American sports.
True. Facts.
I said the four major North American sports.
Face, though, was hilarious.
Nah, y'all trying to box me in. Nah, I knew exactly where y'all were going with that one. Man, nah.
That was hilarious. I ain't going to lie. Nobody trying to set you up.
Yes, you were.
Nah, I was laughing. I thought that was hilarious. All right, man. You know what? We'll talk NBA Finals after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages. You dig? Deuces. It's the Urban Sports Scene on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wole, Ray, and myself, Will. We are part of Empire Media. All right, fellas. After two games of the NBA final, the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics are tied one apiece. What's your impression of the final so far, Ray?
So far, typical NBA playoffs 2022 where one team wins by a large margin one game, right. And then the following game, it's like the complete opposite happens. The next team seems to, for lack of a better term, they get on that get back, so to speak. But my thought, honestly, first of all, two light-skinned brothers battling out is amazing. Just shows that we're back. You got Jason Tatum and you got Steph Curry, who, let's be real, guys, the measuring stick, the bar has been set by LeBron James in his current era basketball. If Steph gets a fourth ring, that puts him in that discussion with LeBron James. Some, of course, who don't like LeBron will put Steph ahead of LeBron. I don't agree with that necessarily because going to 10 straight finals is freaking amazing with nine, however many he went to. That's so hard on your body. Then you got Jason Tatum, who, wow, if he wins, he will only have one ring. But like I told you over the phone, he never teamed up with nobody. He stayed with the team that drafted him. Him and Jaylen Brown became two strong players over the course of time. They learned from failures. And he's about to possibly have a chip versus KD, LeBron. People, they criticize them for going places to win. These young Celtics could win. Marcus Smart, I'll throw him in there as well. Yeah. Somebody who grinded it out and could possibly have a chip. Uh-huh. That puts Jason Tatum in a discussion with some of the great players that we see currently. Because again, the knock or the asterisk for many, not myself, but for many, including that bubble championship for LeBron is, well, he had to go to Miami and team up with some guys. Uh-huh. Jason Tatum, what knock are you going to have on him?
I guess my takeaway from that is you guys discuss your takes prior to the show to kind of practice and hash them out so you guys can get over on me. But I respect that. I respect
that. Here's what I want to say to that. You were late, and we discussed that. We went and played basketball last week, and this is what we had to discuss. We rode to Baltimore. What else are we going to do?
I mean, I wasn't invited to come to Baltimore, but, you know, it's all good, man. It's all good.
Listen, he might get a plus, too. I would love for you to go. Because then you would be the worst player, and that would be... I'm horrible right now, Will. Like...
You know what I mean? But I get it,
you
man.
You would have to be worse than me.
You want who?
Nah, dog. Listen, my feelings already hurt.
Oh, my God, man.
So throw it up, Will. I want to see it, bro.
I don't need to.
Throw the LJ.
Hey, can we get back on topic?
Yes, we're back on topic.
I'm just saying, this is huge for two guys' legacies, and they both, to me, are they're striving for LeBron James?
The easy thing for me to say, and I'm going to say it anyway, is if Curry gets his fourth championship, then we start to evaluate, was this really LeBron James era or was it Steph Curry's era? Right. I think that's the discussion. I think that's the easy question to ask. And I think it's a question that should be asked. And I don't think you may hear people talking about it.
No, I think that's a fair discussion. The only thing that would hinder it, that you had this dude that was amazing in that era with him. And Kevin Durant, which was the best player on the squad that
but
time.
But he only has,
KD has two championships, right?
He has two championships.
So it's like.
But people are always going, unfairly, people are always going to knock KD and saying you had to join Steph.
No, I agree. It's true. I know. It's unfair. But even that, like the whole, like if it was like, I'm trying to look at an example. Like say, KD going to that squad, he's the best player. You're right. Yeah. Getting the championship.
And he won two finals MVPs.
So it kind of hinders. You're right.
And they didn't win a championship once he blew out his Achilles.
And then prior, and you know, the whole talk was that Draymond Green, because when LeBron beat him, Draymond Green called KD and was like, we need you to beat LeBron.
Yeah.
So they need it. So I'm with you because I go both ways with it. Because at the end of the day, like Golden State and this whole nucleus with Steph as the star have become this juggernaut. Like Ray said, like LeBron getting to the finals, this accomplishment of dominating the West and getting to the finals is still an accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he does deserve a seat at the throne when we talk about this era. But what hurts him to have the argument that, okay, you know, is he the best player and could he be the best player in this era? It's hard because on his team that he won, on two of the championships that he's won, like two of the championships, it's like he won three, right? Steph's won three.
He's got three.
So two out of three, he wasn't the best player on the squad. It hurts. It hurts a little.
Okay, it hurts. You that's fair. Uh-huh. And I'll take it even a step further. For all three of his championships, he wasn't the MVP of any of those.
I feel like for the one, they just get an Eagle Dollar. I think he should have got that drink. That's a whole different.
I just want to say LeBron came straight out of high school. By his fourth year, he was in the finals. He defeated the Detroit Pistons by himself. Yeah. No offense to the guys on his team, but it's just like if you think of that Philly team that went to the finals with Mutombo, that's AI. AI took that team with by the NBA standards, as we just discussed. AI carried that squad to the finals against Milwaukee. He was the only one that could score. When he missed the game, they struggled to even get buckets. And in LeBron's case, he was good from the jump.
I know.
With all the pressure. Steph wasn't the Steph we see now away.
It took him a few years. The
ankle injury definitely, but also Monte Ellis might have been the best player when Steph was on the team at first. LeBron automatically walked into that floor. Ricky Davis was awesome back then, by the way. And he was and LeBron with all the pressure, with the teammates, with everything he had going on, he was the best player on the team.
Yeah, I mean,
this is the LeBron era. Come on now.
No, but people aren't going to see things that nuance, right? They're going to see it as, all right, this is what. Out of the 8 years, this is probably what their sixth time in the championship in an 8 year run, if I'm not mistaken.
The Warriors, they missed. I mean, obviously,
you're right.
I
think they went 5 straight seasons. They missed the last two.
Yeah, here they are.
Yeah. So this will be 6 out of 8. People look at it as if you are the best player. I don't care if you paid 20 years, right?
I agree, bro.
People are going to say if you're the best player over that 20 year span, you can't be the best player if one player. Or one player or players, pretty much not dominated, but were consistently in the finals or competing for finals for 6 out of 8 years.
I want to ask you this because you always talk about the real definition of dynasties. Steph is clearly part of a dynasty. Has LeBron ever been part of a dynasty?
Yeah, Miami because they won back to back. I think it was back to back. They went the four straight. Yeah, and they won back to back. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that.
Now, who would you take? That Heat dynasty then, or the Warriors dynasty?
Oh, the Warriors. I feel like it's a dominant brand. It's a dominant. We talk about the style. I just like the style of basketball.
I mean, head to head. So who you got?
Head to head.
You talking about Bosh, Wade, LeBron versus Draymond, Steph, Clay
in their prime?
Yeah.
Oh, because I don't even think the I would take Miami because I don't think the Golden State, the Warriors haven't even seen. They didn't play LeBron in prime LeBron. It was good. It was good LeBron. Like Miami LeBron is arguably like prime LeBron. It is prime LeBron.
See, so.
That's a hard one.
Because LeBron's had like his prime has been sustained for like 15 years.
But,
right? Most people will. I'm not gonna say most because I hate to say like most. There's an argument that when LeBron beat that 73 win team, that was at his apex. That's his apex.
They would say that.
That's his greatest power.
Yeah,
I think that would be fair for
easily
people to
say. Fair. That team was dominant. That Warriors team was dominant,
bro. That's a great argument. I also want to say this, Wale, and I get that we can't control when we're injured, and that's not a knock on Steph or Grant Hill or anybody who's had injuries, even though Anthony Davis gets criticized heavily for it. But that speaks to LeBron, just his work ethic and how he really takes care of his body. When Dwight had that focus, he never had injuries. You notice that?
When he
led the Magic to the finals. But as soon as the world got through to him, you saw him not on the court as much. Like, when he was a Wizard, he missed, like, a whole season because of a glute injury. Uh-huh. And, again, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying LeBron, just the run he's had from a physical health standpoint alone is amazing to me. I just feel like this – it's a great debate, but this still is the LeBron era, though. And for those who think that, no, this is Steph's era, I'm not going to necessarily –
You mean currently right now, his era?
I'm just over the past, let's say, 15 years.
I think LeBron and me are probably like the only dudes that's like plus 35 that don't have a bunch of injuries in their body.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media at AmpireMedia.com. All right, we're going back to the NBA Finals real quick, and we're going to leave LeBron a little bit for now. all right, like Will mentioned earlier, series is tied one apiece.
All right,
two games are passed. You're good. This actually was a good discussion. Game 3 is approaching. Who has the edge?
I mean, the best discussion was last week. Whether, Ja Morant, 800 without him.
Yeah.
A 30-game period.
That
I know, right?
Just Blaze is a bystander for that one.
But
nah, it's all good. Nah, we're not going down that path.
Ray. Will, you're first. It says Will first.
Ray had.
All right, you first then. Don't matter.
Of course, you got to get the edge of Boston for the simple fact they did what they had to do, and they took one on the road. And honestly, they were very competitive in a tough environment against a team that is deeper than them in terms of offense. So going back home, they should be confident. Al Horford has outperformed the front court for the Warriors, which says his experience plays a role with all the mileage under his belt. I feel as though he brings that experience that people say the Celtics don't have because the Warriors playing so many finals. But from a coaching perspective, Steve Kerr has the edge. If overall, I feel like Celtics mentally are feeling good about themselves going home, but that's where I feel as the Warriors are a bit sneaky because they like, that's what we want. We want you to think that you're good, that you can get comfortable. That's when we're going to outscore you massively in one quarter, and we're gonna take your soul. But I'll still go with the Celtics just because they've been road warriors this entire playoffs, and they accomplished that goal again in the finals thus far.
That's a fair point, but I'll just add one caveat. Just going off a basic. Based off of game two, yeah. Klay Thompson hasn't played well.
He has not.
Jordan Poole thus far hasn't been consistent. We haven't seen Jordan Poole consistent like we've seen him throughout the playoffs, right? These first two games.
But game two, he killed.
Now, game two, I mean, but from a turning the ball over standpoint.
Go ahead.
From the perspective of a turning the ball over, he's very loose with the ball game two. Uh-huh. I think if you are Golden State and you take those things into consideration, even though you're going on the road in Boston, you know, there's a specific player who's the heart and soul of Golden State, Draymond Green. He will thrive with getting his guys ready for that type of environment. That's the type of environment that he wants, us against the world. Yeah. We're going into Boston for, 5 days? It's just us. We're going to block out everything. We just want to focus. And we come in here, and this is when we will break Boston and take their spirit. By taking these two games on the road,
I think the game will be officiated a little differently in Game Three from what I watched, because I think you set the tone, and you can tell how the game's gonna be officiated off the bat. I think you saw the play. I think the play, and then Draymond actually, the Celtics got the foul. Draymond typically tackled somebody, and they called the foul on the Celtic. Like he was going through. I don't know. It was early in the second quarter. Actually, it was in the first quarter. It was in the first quarter, early in the game. I can't name the play, but. They was trying to. He was chasing off screen. I mean, the dude was.
You mean he ran someone?
He ran him over. Basically, they called the foul. They called a foul on. I want to say Tatum or Brown.
No, I think it was William Grant.
I'm sorry, you're right. It was Grant Williams. Yes, because even folks were like, "What do you expect to do? You're standing still." Draymond runs into him, throws him, basically knocks him down.
That was a weird call.
Yeah, it was. So you could tell like how with that intensity, you could tell like how, and you're at home. So you know when you're at home, the officials tend to especially when you're down when you're down a game. It just happens. It happens that way where you're gonna try. You're at home, crowds are out there. You kind of get into it. It's gonna be officiated a certain way.
There's been some weird calls
Both sides. Though no, Marcus Smart is another individual who always gets away with a lot. So I'm not. It's neither here nor there. But when you're going home, you're going now to home. You're not gonna get those same calls, right? That same intensity that you're playing with because Draymond was playing that first quarter. Was hellified intense. Like, you know what I mean? To a point where he could have been kicked out of the game. That's how intense he was, right? They had to try to calm him down. Some of those calls that that whole unit was getting, they're not going to get that in Boston. That's one. That's just basketball. That's playoff basketball. We already know that. Two, the role players that were making shots, like you made Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole thought he was Steph in that third quarter. Hit a half-court three-point shot, was hitting Steph land shots off the screen with confidence. With flat out confidence. You're going on the road against a good defensive team. If you're going on the road against a bad defensive team, then I would totally agree with you, Will. Like, when you're playing against a bad defensive team, those individuals you expect to step up. But you're playing against dudes who, truth be told, you're going against a Jaylen Brown, a Tatum on those switches. You're not going to get those same you're not going to have that kind of confidence.
Let me ask you this question. Uh-huh. If you've given up 112 plus points over two games, do you really think that?
It's 112 at home, though. Again, it's 112 at home. If basketball changes when you go.
I get it.
But against Memphis on the road wasn't the same team at home, even with the Let Josh. This team has it. If you look at what this team has played at home in the postseason, and we've talked about why certain matches favor them, but at home, they're way more potent and dominant in the way they score that basketball than they are at home. I'm with you, though, with Klay, but I would also add that. The way they're playing Klay, we said this before, this is not the same Klay, but the way they're playing Klay limits Klay from doing stuff that Klay used to do with what we remember of Klay. Like, because he's lost some speed, you know what I'm saying? His lift isn't the same off the curl, so there's things that he can't, if you're playing him tough, like Jaylen Brown is playing him, and we all respect the way Jaylen Brown plays defense, and if you even get a switch, if Tatum's on there, Tatum's still one of the best, he's a 6'9 forward, who's going to contest your shot? So I'm just saying, like, him struggling, I see why, but I do understand what you're saying, Will, that He's going to blow up one game. He's going to blow up one game because he's just that talented of a shooter.
The fact that you can sag off of Draymond and Looney and only have three guys basically you're defending and you still can't stop a team is kind of scary.
Yeah.
But on the road, if Steph or somebody else like Klay is not hitting, and again, you got these guys who are deficient offensively, that can make it tougher for Golden State to win. However, the problem with Boston all playoffs is they turn the ball over a ton.
They do.
And that helps their opposition. And the Warriors are a team you do not want to turn the ball over against. So that's what I feel like Boston needs to work on going home, because you don't want to create added opportunities for a team that offensively they can go off. Like I said, they can take your soul real quick.
Yeah.
With Jordan Poole included.
That. Oh, yeah, easily.
Real quick. But on the offensive end for Boston, you can't sag off people like you can against Golden State. Al Horford has been making teams pay all playoffs, bro, from the three-point line. And I thought it was fluke at first. Like, you can't sustain that. That's what Draymond is trying to say. They can't sustain with Derek White and Al Horford in threes.
He's consistent. Draymond did a good job.
Horford, though.
No. How much did Horford have last game? I think like two points.
No, I'm just saying throughout the course of the
playoffs. Yeah. I'm just saying like Horford, I'll give Draymond
credit. He saved him against Milwaukee.
I'll give Draymond, they pay more attention to Horford in terms of like the pick and pop. So therefore, Horford couldn't get those shots off. It's adjustments. Play out the game's about adjustments. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And a lot of that, what allowed that to happen was, I think, Jaylen Brown was off in that game. Jaylen Brown was like 5 for 17.
He started off good. So good.
So he ended off. He ended and got to get Draymond credit. A lot of times
physical,
on the switch.
Got physical with him.
And also he moved his feet. Like he took him out. He was not comfortable even, you know, trying to create off the dribble.
He's a dog.
I mean, defensively, he was a problem.
Jaylen Brown's a dog, man.
But I love Jaylen. Go ahead.
So you guys made good points, but I'm not being dismissive. I'll harp back to what I said last week, where Golden State is making Boston play five above the free throw line, right? And when they aren't five above the free throw line, they're either putting Robert Williams or Al Horford in the corner, making them defend a guy in the corner. And that takes away essentially one of Boston's strength, which was Robert Williams on that back line altering and eliminating shots. That's why I asked the question. Do you think Boston has been the same defensively, even though they've given up 112 points
the first two games. First game they gave up 100. It was low one. It wasn't 112 because they had what's name. It wasn't 112. It was low. And plus that was, and you can argue say that they let the bench players play at the end of the game. They were pretty much had them under 100.
When the whistle.
You know what I'm talking about.
Listen.
And it was under 112, though. It was under 112. I feel pretty confident about that, actually.
I mean, you know, we like to fact check.
Yeah, fact check me, please. The second game was.
I'm looking now. Oh, it was 121 away game.
Yeah, 107, 88. Yeah. So they played in today's basketball. If you hold a team, that's pretty decent. So you're playing good. This is not like the 90s basketball. Teams score 100 all the time nowadays in basketball. So they played good defense in the first game. Second game, they went off. They went off in the second game. The third quarter, they do what Golden State does in the third quarter, and they kept that going in the fourth. Boston couldn't make shots. So Boston has played good defense. I thought game one, to your point, I think Robert Williams played great defense off the curl and was blocking shots off the curl. He contested jumpers. I said this before.
He's clearly injured.
Yeah, he is injured. What makes Boston different defensively with their bigs is these dudes can move their feet. They can play off the. You have a switch. They're not useless off a switch. You know what I mean? Like Steph can still do Steph because Steph is special. But they're gonna make Steph work. Robert Williams is not gonna just let Steph shoot the ball over. He's gonna contest it and he's able to block a shot or whatever. So to me, their bigs are different from any other bigs that we've seen Golden State play against in the finals. Like when they used to play Cleveland, they would get the switch with Kevin Love. You know what I mean? Like Steph would get that switch because he wanted that switch. You don't get that ideal switch with Boston. You're going to have to work when you get a Boston big on a switch.
That being said, I think Golden State wins game three. I think Boston wins the series, though.
I'm still taking Golden State in seven.
I got Boston winning this game because Boston lose two games in a row. So I got Boston in this game. I can see Golden State winning game four, though. I have Boston winning game two.
I think it's going to be tied going back to Golden State. Going back to San Francisco.
Yeah, it's not Oakland. San Francisco, which is... Guy trash. You know what I'm saying? But it's an intriguing series. Though, but I'm like you. I'm sick of the blowouts, though. I just want to.
Yeah. I mean, it's been close at minute at points.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
at critical points.
Yeah, but I want to like
a last second. Yeah, you want like the Brooklyn versus the Celtics in the first round, first game.
Yeah, I want that two-minute shot. Yeah, just give me something for real, man.
I mean, maybe we get a game three in Boston on Wednesday.
That'd be dope.
That's kind of a weird day, though.
A Wednesday, I thought so too, bro. Yeah, like,
so the finals is Sundays and Wednesdays.
Well, no, it was Thursday. Game one was Thursday, right?
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Thursday, then Sunday.
Wait, so it's Wednesday, and then what's the next game after Wednesday?
Saturday.
They getting breaks for real.
I think. I don't even know if we'll
yeah, it's Saturday. It's two days.
Anyway.
They rested, though. Go ahead.
Speaking of lopsided victories, Devin Haney, over the weekend, he had an impressive victory over Joyce Kambosos. What do you think? We'll talk about that next. The Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback.
More a saloon. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What suffers in fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Ole, Ray Jeezy, and Will T, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. All right, in Melbourne, Australia, Devin Haney became the undisputed lightweight champion with a dominating victory over George Kambosos in Saturday? Sunday?
It was Sunday.
Saturday here, Australia.
But Sunday in Australia.
All right, Will, your
Down
thoughts?
Down Under.
Down Under. Your thoughts, Will T?
It was one. I think it was a star making performance. It wasn't one of those performances where you like loudly proclaim, "I'm here on the scene. I'm gonna be a star. I'm gonna be a superstar. I'm gonna be trouble for the next 10 to 15 years." It wasn't that. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't explosive. But from a boxing fundamental perspective, he did what he had to do. The guy has a 72-inch reach. Uh-huh. And when you come across most lightweights aren't going to have that type of reach. And he did what any fighter in there, you know, any fighter with a good corner says, look, use your reach. Uh-huh. Get on the end. When you get on the inside, rough him up a little bit and box. And that's exactly what he did. And George Kambosos, he had some opportunities to land some big shots, but ultimately he didn't. And I think that's just from a stylistic perspective, because Devin Haney isn't a guy that's going to be pressed to, really put on his foot on the pedal unless he feels as if he can get you out of there. George Kambosos didn't present that opportunity, and Devin Haney did what he did, use his reach advantage and use his jab. And it was a performance that announced, hey, I'm here, but it wasn't, hey, I'm here, I'm a superstar, I'm a box office attraction.
Man, I was impressed. I loved it. You know what I mean? Like, I know we were all chatting, texting, and, you know, I'll let the homie talk about his perspective on it. But for me, I was impressed, man. I just feel like, you know, Mayweather put out the blueprint about what boxing is all about. You know, you came with a game plan, you stuck with his game plan. Didn't try to do something.
The
sweet science. He didn't try to do something that he shouldn't do. Like, he didn't try to go out there and go to war with Kambosos like dumbass Teofimo Lopez did. He went there and boxed. He used his strength. He jabbed him, and his jab was dominant. It wasn't like a show jab. It was a jab that was snap. He was snapping Kambosos' neck back. Like, he was owning the fight off the jab alone. Yeah, granted, we want to see the knockout artist like a tank Tank Davis, but we said this before the fight. You know, we talked about this before the fight, or various different occasions about Haney, that we questioned his power. He's not a power, but that's not his thing. He's a boxer. He had a game plan. He executed a game plan. He delivered combinations off his jab at times. He got in there and got out. He didn't get hit. He avoided damage. And Kambosos shouldn't even been in the ring with him. That's how dominating he was.
George Kambosos, yeah, he's the Atlanta Falcons. He's that
facts. You said it.
He's that team. He's that team that and that person that shouldn't be there, but he unfortunately was there.
True.
I think what you all are saying is echoing what a lot of people are saying about quote unquote the arrival of Devin Haney. But if you do know boxing, as you brothers do, Devin Haney, everybody knows that brother is a supreme boxer, straight up. Mm-hmm. And the problem is we didn't want to see him against George Kambosos. The reason why I can't say he arrived, first of all, he's already arrived. Daggone, he was arrived before this fight.
But it's the stage, though, I guess. You know what I mean?
Who in their right mind, and the key term is right mind, had George Kambosos winning this fight. Like, we knew what was going to happen. And George, I felt so bad for him because he was promoting this big fight in his home country in this big stadium. And I'm like, dude, you're not even going to get close. I was just saying, forget that. Just brawl. I would rather see him get knocked out than just sit there and just be frustrated the way he was. I mean, the start of every round, he's banging his gloves together like, I'm about to go at this dude. He just couldn't, and it was sad to watch. It was pretty sad.
The reason I said Devin Haney arrived is because, let's be frank, he's fought on DAZN, which no one watches DAZN, right? I'm being realistic, right? True. No one, only
Canelo. Only watching the zone is Canelo,
right? If Canelo or maybe Triple G, Anthony Joshua.
Anthony Joshua, right?
So no one. I feel relatively safe saying most people. I'm not gonna say no one, but most people don't watch the zone. So he was on a huge platform, ESPN, right? He was on ESPN and I think ESPN Plus, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't have ESPN Plus. What is that for real?
I watched it on ESPN Plus.
I watched it on ESPN. It was free.
It's on free.
And it should have been.
Huh? Plus. Why you got they put it on both?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's naturally part of the ESPN Plus
package. Oh, got you.
But it was simulcast on ESPN, which it should have been.
Yeah, okay. which it should have been. Which it should have been.
That's not if that would have been a pay-per-view fight, I guarantee it would have sold less than Bud's.
By far.
Because Bud complained about the ESPN Plus app.
Yeah.
So if you're not buying Bud's fights, who's, of course, he's pound for pound number one, you're not going to buy Devin Haney's fight. We all know Devin Haney can box.
Yeah, we all know that, but to the point I was making, like, this was his first time probably as a headline on a big platform, which ESPN is, and we all know, despite, you know, people cutting ESPN, they have millions of subscribers, and I'm pretty sure if it was on ESPN1, then there was the opportunity for people to watch that. Also, another side note. That commentary they have is trash, man.
Bruh,
I muted it.
Timmy Bradley has to go.
So this is the thing. this is what I don't understand. You have two guys who are official that's under that ESPN umbrella, and Andre Ward. Right, so why not utilize those two guys? I just don't understand.
My problem is how come Max never is part of that team? Like he's the post at times. He's the post fight or the pre fight, like, but he's not part of the team. Like he is great as part of the team.
And this is the thing, like Max Kellerman, his name is synonymous with boxing during his time at HBO. So you're going to get people who naturally love to hear him call the fight. Just tune in, even if it's a fight that hasn't been advertised or marketed, or it's not a great card, just the opportunity to hear Max Kellerman call the fight.
You would automatically think HBO if you had Max and Andre Ward doing the color,
and you have Teddy Atlas.
It would be over. Like you would have your boxing program would be 10 times better. ESPN is trash when it comes to boxing. I'm sorry, I just can't I can't deal with them. But back to the fight, and to your point, I think it was a good showcase for Devin Haney. And why I say that to what Will's talking about is that it's on ESPN, and arguably, like Ray, I agree with you on this point. Like, yeah, Kambosos is like he's a fluke dude who shouldn't have been there. I agree with that. But it still is a stage for Devin Haney to get more eyes. You know what I'm saying? Because there was talk about Kambosos because of what he did to Teofimo Lopez. Now it's on a stage of, you know what? Even though it's not probably his strongest fighter he had to fight, but it was like, you know what? I'm on a better stage, and I'm gonna show y'all what I can do. You know what I mean?
Okay, the numbers came out earlier.
Yeah.
Haney Cambosis yeah. peaked at 1.3 million, over 1.3 yeah. million on ESPN, which is, like you said, Devin Haney got a big audience.
That's why I said he arrived.
Ha. But how many of those people were real boxing fans? Probably maybe half or a little more than half.
I had a question. The
people who don't really care about what y'all talk about, the sweet science, they'd be like, this is trash.
No, it's facts.
I will never watch this again.
That's true.
So that's my concern. I love what Haney does in the ring because he's a great boxer.
I see
but
your point.
They ran the risk. Bob Arum took a big gamble and said, okay, I'm putting this dude on this platform. Now he's got to deliver. And again, we appreciate the boxing, but the average fan like Madonna showing up to Tank fight because they know what Tank going to do.
No time,
Madonna
man.
Ain't going to see Devin Haney. That's my concern. Now, I will say this. On the flip side, though, he had a successful showing on Top Rank, which opens the door for bigger fights in the future, a la Shakur, because we know Shakur's a naturally bigger fighter. He's going to move up at some point.
Yeah. Did you want to go first?
No, I want you to go.
No, I'll say, so you made a fair point. 1.3 million. But
over
1.3
million.
Over 1.3 million. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the general public, now they associate a name. They know a name. Yeah. So when there's another fight, even though they might not have loved or liked his performance, but people,
now.
He's a name. And once you get that brand name recognition, then you start the general public. They'll say, oh, okay, I watched one of his fights.
It's like Winky. It's like Winky. Like, no one saw Winky, but then you got to see it. And he wasn't excited. He wasn't knocking nobody out. But you saw Winky. You
against Trinidad, yeah. right? Against like, Trinidad. And then like, it was just like,
I know
oh, wow.
It was but yeah, it's not like he was a popular two well, point. Like,
again,
he's not
he fought Trinidad.
Yeah,
he didn't
no,
fight
but, no, but you, no, you're right. So I'm saying, though, he now gets the opportunity now. Since you're going to now, he's going to be a guy that, oh, that dude who beat the, he, it wasn't sexy, but if that dude who beat whatever, it's going to be
it's
even bigger
name.
Now. It's bigger, though.
It's a
you know
name.
What I'm saying?
And people, when it comes to the sport of boxing, people will tune in for a name.
So you don't think, like, Haney, because of this, you don't think, like, if Haney fights, I'm not saying it's going to happen, so if Haney fights Tank, you don't think this doesn't help the...
No, Tank is the star all
but,
by himself.
But you don't think this helps...
I like the example.
But, all right, Teofimo. If he fights Teofimo, you don't think this helped his exposure, helps him?
I don't think it makes a difference.
Oh, man, I think it does, man.
See, I think it makes
think
a difference,
does,
man.
I mean,
we can respectfully disagree. I had a homie
was watching it, and I had a homie who was like, oh, he never heard of Devin Haney.
Exactly.
And then, before this, and he got to watch him, and he said, oh, he can box. He said he was, to your point, though, right? He said he wasn't exciting, but he said he
but
can box.
People
if
you
watch
love
him,
the
man,
sport,
now,
and you love the sport of boxing, you're going to love what David Haney
does. But he's not, I'm saying.
Because Devin Haney looked like he wasn't even in a fight afterwards.
Huh?
He didn't even look like he fought afterwards.
No, he dominated.
And that's what you got to love about him. Again, the kind of Mayweather style. Yeah. However, I just feel like 1.3 million, it peaked at 1,355,000, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it averaged about 322,000 or something like that. Which again, whenever ESPN puts out a free event, it does really good numbers.
Yeah,
it does
boxing,
awesome
yeah.
numbers. And
ESPN,
they've had some good fights.
Yeah,
definitely. It's just my problem is I don't know if he helped himself with the casual boxing fan. I don't think he did. I actually think it worsened his stock when it comes to that casual fan.
I don't know, man.
Because I looked at Twitter, like I said, even your boxing pundits were like, we don't want to see part two. Why don't you?
But they don't
if we want to see the name now. No, you don't.
No, they don't want to see part two because of the Cambosis.
Because it's Cambosis.
Yeah, it's Cambosis.
Right, so, but I'm just
it's
saying, can Haney now off his name carry a card? I don't think he
oh,
can.
No. I don't know if he carry a card.
I
they carry
so,
a card?
So, I'll take a step back. I think, like I said, he's created a name for
that's
himself.
Yeah.
So, when you have a name, and people see your name on that marquee, people will automatically recognize, and most likely people will tune in based off of a name.
Yeah.
Right? Look at the Paul brothers, a name.
Yeah.
And that's why people watch it. Outside of people want to see them lose, but they're a name.
No, that's different though, because they have a core audience from YouTube. Like, even without all the Snoop and the weed and the funny stuff that comes along with that.
That's fair.
Clown show. They have a YouTube following way before boxing.
Okay, that's fair.
It's different. Devin Haney doesn't have that following.
But it's better
like you
than,
said, dude say he never heard of Devin Haney.
I'm saying, but this does help. Like, again, any type of exposure
that's,
to a
and
main
that's the
brand
point
is,
I've
is
made.
Helpful.
And
like, you can't, like, for instance, if you're on the zone, if you're staying on the zone, right? Your exposure is still going to be his exposure is going to be limited. Now he's been seen on ESPN. Like, you may say that a bunch of people, but you're going to have some people who may be higher than maybe casual. They may just know the top boxers, but they may pay attention to they may like watching boxing and see the sweet science. They're going to be like, oh, dude can go. So they're going to now, they didn't see him on the zone. Now they see him, they're like, oh, I like him. I don't think he exciting to a draw pay-per-view. Like, we always judge people on pay-per-view. We're talking about carrying the whole fight or carrying like the money aspect of it. There's certain fighters we see that we like ain't that type of draw that can't carry a pay-per-view
fight. I will agree. I'll meet you guys halfway and say I think it helped more than hurt from what you're saying. Yeah. Because, yeah, a boxing fan who loves the sweet sounds like my uncle. My uncle doesn't watch a lot of fights, but he loves the sport of boxing. He'll probably say, man, Haney's that. Yeah, he can good. Box. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, okay, I will agree with you there. But let's just say Haney fights Rolly Romero next on Showtime. He's a promotional free agent, technically. He's fight by fight type of thing.
Yeah. On Showtime.
I don't think the average fan that says, I want to go and watch a boxing fight in person or on TV would watch that crap. Even if Rolly talked all the trash in the world, it just wouldn't work. Haney's name isn't there yet. And it's not his fault. Again, it's just that casual boxing fan that wants to see this and that.
I'm trying to think about it. That's a fair
point. No, I mean, if Rolly Romero comes along and he says something so inflammatory, if he says something so inflammatory that it crosses over into popular culture, people will watch. For Rolly, look, I'm not. You won't hear me say that there are guys that are star boxers, but from a promotion standpoint, they take the stance which I'm glad that they take that. Look, I'm not going to go out here and say anything crazy just to promote a fight.
Because to be honest with you, for a while till his win started speaking volumes. That's how Andre Ward was.
But to be honest with you, though, Rolly, he benefited from Tank's name.
Of course.
Because Rolly's fights before that were terrible, if y'all watched them. Oh, yeah, now, does Rolly have power against no disrespect? I'm talking about, I shouldn't say terrible. From a viewership perspective,
it's not good.
It wasn't a draw.
It's not a draw. Yeah,
so people saw Tank and they saw this dude trash talking Tank. Like, I got to see this.
It was because he was trash talking Tank. Exactly. That's what it was happening.
So that's my point. I think Haney against Ryan Garcia would be great. Ryan Garcia has a great following.
That's good for him.
I think, again, the Tank fight would be good. Haney, this will help more than it hurts. Again, I'm agreeing with you guys there. It's just if we're promoters and we're going to invest our money, we would have to be very strategic.
No, this is how you where this we is put how, it with Haney. To get to the point where you want Haney, which you're saying, and I get what you're talking about, Haney would have to fight and beat like a Ryan Garcia. Or that's the most intriguing fight for me, or even a Tank.
That's the most intriguing fight for me.
You beat a guy like or a Tank because that's their pop culture. So if you beat them, you're now more of an attention. To the comparison we talked about Winky, when Winky beat beat Felix?
Yeah, he beat Felix.
When he beat Felix, it now put Winky absolutely on a different level.
There you go.
Because a lot of people were like Winky born. And it's like Winky Bourne. Who want
to
watch Winky?
Andre Ward to the casual boxing fan was born.
When you start racking wins, and then you can't deny it. Like you can't deny beating who did Andre beat at the end?
Kovalev.
But before Kovalev, who did he?
I'm trying to think of somebody.
But I think Kovalev was the more notable one at the time, right?
Uh-huh.
Kovalev was the more notable one.
He's probably the most notable guy.
He beat Carl Froch.
He beat Mikael Kessler.
He beat Tim because he had just beat. What's his name?
Andre?
Nah. What's his name? Bernard Hopkins had just lost to this dude. What's his name again? Tim what?
Not Jermaine Taylor.
Taylor beat Hopkins.
I know that. Twice. Bernard just beat him. Oh, you're talking about dude. I know you're talking about.
What is his name?
Dang, you're talking about black dude, right?
Yeah.
I know you're talking about.
He had just beat Bernard Hopkins. Yeah. And Andre Ward went and dominated him. Hold on. Let me see. I'm going to tell you right
now.
Can't
think of his name, but I know what you're talking about.
It's getting on my nerves.
Tim Kofi John?
No.
But yeah, like to Andre. Andre
Ward. Tim, I'm getting it wrong. It's not Tim. Dang.
Chad Dawson.
That was a big win because he dominated him. And Chad Dawson just beat Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard, you're right. But I think Kovalev was probably the better one at that time, though.
Kovalev is probably like the biggest.
That was a controversial, the first one. Andre looked like the body language, like he lost that first fight.
He won to me, but.
I mean, yeah, he came back in the later rounds. Yeah, I mean, again, if you're a boxing purist.
His undefeated record was the draw for him.
I think also, I'll be honest with you, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, because again, it's great points, but the turnoff for some with Haney is his bravado doesn't match up with what he puts out in the ring.
No, it doesn't. This is true. Because he doesn't, he can't, not. Everybody wants.
But that's Floyd.
But Floyd is a little bit more.
From the perspective of Floyd, when you think of a guy who talks so much.
Yeah, but he don't talk like Floyd, though.
But this is what I'm saying.
I know you're talking about.
Like, when you think of a guy who talks so much, you think action's going to follow. Yeah. You think there's going to be big knockouts.
Good point. you talking about?
He still beat people up though. Like Gaddy, like he beat Gaddy.
That's
up.
What you talking about? That's Pretty Boy. You talking about Pretty Boy?
Again, that's still Floyd, it's still Floyd Mayweather.
Pretty Boy's beat. Pretty Boy was a savage. Pretty Boy was.
That's what I'm saying. It's still Floyd Mayweather. Money was chilling. But people still want to see them.
Yeah, of course, man. Because the skill is. I mean, because it's over.
That's what I'm saying. That's
undeniable.
It's not the greatest comparison from that standpoint. Because Floyd combinations.
It's combinations and also like, I mean, charisma. And then you put that with the combination of boxing game, it's just too different.
And Floyd beat Canelo. Floyd beat people that you want to watch.
It's just too different.
He beat guys that you, like Maidana. Like, you like, okay.
Yeah.
Floyd, he's definitely a superior boxer.
And he's a good marketer in terms of how he
I really think that Devin Haney, with that jab and that reach, it would give Tank a lot of problems.
Yeah, he would, but Tank would have
that. Tank can catch him, though. That's the difference. But Ryan Garcia being about his height, maybe even an inch taller, and there's no real reach advantage, which is why Ryan Garcia beat him in the amateurs.
Yeah.
So that would be the most intriguing fight. Oh, no, Shakur would be the most intriguing. Shakur's not moving up yet. He's not moving up yet. But according to Gary Russell, since he's a naturally bigger fighter, he's going to move up at some point.
All right, real quick before we end this show. Rematch, the rematch clause, right? And we all stated that we pretty much don't want to see that fight. But if we don't get your opinion. Do you think the rematch is happening? If it doesn't, and if Haney finds a way to wiggle out of it, who would he fight next?
I do think the rematch will happen.
Okay.
Because one, that gate in Australia was vicious. If you saw the stadium, it was packed. 40,000.
But where they gonna fight? They wouldn't fight in the
fence. Yes, it is.
Australia again?
That's the clause.
That's the contract. Yes. Yeah. So,
well, that's what I told you. Australians were like, this was whack. That's why Lou DiBella has a big decision to make. Like, do I even want to promote something like this?
I thought it was a home and home thing.
Mm-mm, no, it's not home and home.
Ken Bosa knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, that's different then.
No, I think, will he be able to fill up 40,000 people in Australia again? I think he possibly could. If given time, I think that's one.
Uh-huh.
Two, it is interesting to me, even though I don't think it was the most appealing or entertaining fight. We've seen other rematch clause go into effect with fights that were way worse than this, or far more, you know, dominant, you know, one sided than this, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know, just it was I'm not gonna say the fix was in, but right off the top, you heard Joe Tessitore say, "We don't need to see this fight again. We don't need to see." And then it instantly just started spreading. You heard everyone say, "No, we don't need to see this fight again. We don't need to see this fight again."
Yeah.
But realistically, he's contractually obligated to fight him again.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it was easy the first time, then make it easy again the second time. But that's the allure of a rematch, right? George Kambosos, we've seen him change the trajectory of a fight with one punch against Teofimo Lopez.
Uh-huh.
Now, if he comes out and he's far more aggressive, maybe we see a little bit more interesting fight. And I think he knows if he were to fight him again, he would know that he has to put his foot forward on the pedal a little bit more and be more aggressive.
There are ways around the rematch. I'm going to emphasize that. And it's two names that come to mind because Tank is not fighting. Leonard Ellerbe already said, until Haney becomes more of a draw, I'm not putting Tank in the ring with him.
Yeah.
So we know that one's not going to happen. It looks like Tank Ryan Garcia might be, even though Oscar De La Hoya doesn't want that to happen either. He posted Tank versus Haney is the fight to make next. He posted that.
Oscar tweeted that.
And then he came back, he quote tweeted and said, but you know Ryan versus everybody. I was like, he's trying to save face because he probably pissed Ryan off. But there's two names. If we're talking about Haney just continuing to build.
Yeah.
His brand, so to speak. There is Tevin Farmer. Don't knock it. When Tevin Farmer is actually good, I think that would be a decent fight. He can go back to the zone for that one fight, which Eddie Hearn knows.
Oh, Haney beat him.
Haney would beat him. No, I'm not. Haney would beat most people.
Yeah.
And then there's Frank Martin, who's on the come up. Frank Martin is on the come up. And you know he's out at Derrick James camp.
I think he need to fight. See, I think he need to fight Frank, one of them new young young.
Frank boys. Martin.
I don't think that, again, he's not going to do anything for what we're trying to give him to be at. You think he's going to put him on the...
Frank Martin? You don't like Frank Martin?
I didn't say I didn't like him. I'm talking about notoriety. When you're talking about getting to that point where he wants to be at,
like,
I don't think that's a fight that he could take to be where he want to be at.
So
And now in terms of boxing fans, yes, I agree.
So who are you thinking?
it's gotta be one of them dudes that had draws that like when everybody like it's gotta be like a Ryan Garcia. It's gotta be like a. It's gotta be one of them dudes. But
that's not gonna happen though.
That, I don't think that's gonna happen. And that's why. And that's why. And that's why.
I'm talking about realistic.
Yeah, I think seriously, you'll see him versus Cornback versus him versus Cambosa.
Yeah, I think I'll be real with you. Okay. He's better off if that's the case. If he can't get those dudes, he is better off.
Okay,
fighting
right. Cambosa. So he'll take the rematch. Yeah. So okay, after he dominates Cambosa, again, where does he go? Because he's in the same position. Man. Nobody wants to see that crap.
I don't.
And Leonard Ellerbee's gonna be like, no, I'm not putting Tank in the ring with you when you have not even proved that you're ready to be on that level yet.
That's tough, man.
Like,
oh,
that's what I'm saying. He's gonna have to just knock off like Errol did. Whoever you put in front of me, I'm a dominator.
Maybe he's gonna have to be that way. Yeah. Probably have to be
the problem is if he can't knock nobody out, he man, that's is what he ever gonna get to that place?
It's a problem.
Because at least Errol was stopping folks. Like Errol dominated Lamont Peterson. He dominated him. And it wasn't even pretty. Haney dominates, and it's fun to watch, but Cambosa was like, I ain't feel nothing.
I know.
And then, according to, you know, we don't follow the copy box or whatever, but Haney only outlanded him by what, like 20 punches?
That's a lie. I think that's a lie.
I'm just saying, but still, this is the eye test, bro.
Because Cambosa, I don't even think he was getting blocked. Most of them things were getting
blocked. Of course he was.
That thing was so stupid.
We don't trust show box copy box. We don't trust this bull crap. But I'm just saying.
I will say, though, if he, I didn't know it was back in Australia. I wouldn't even trust that judge because some of them judges in
I told you that card, bro.
116, 112. I was like,
I had that feeling like he was going to get screwed. Remember I said that?
116, 112. Well, I was like,
that's when you got to come in and you got to dominate the fight.
But he did dominate the fight. It wasn't even in the fight.
If Cambosa would have went harder and just would have been just swinging nonstop, he might have won more rounds and hitting arms. Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
Because only one judge had it the way, like, close to what we were talking.
It was 118, 110.
One judge. And I was like,
right, we all gave him one round, right?
I gave him none.
The second round.
I gave him two rounds. I gave him the second round and I gave him the sixth round.
I gave him zero rounds. I gave him the second round. I gave him the harder shot in that round.
I know the one punch.
I think it was the sixth.
I was just saying,
I said he did hit him. I mean, for real, the best move for Devin Haney would be move up to 142.
He's not doing that, man. He don't got power enough, dude.
Because that's what Gary Antoine wants him at 140.
He ain't strong enough to go up.
Gary Antoine was like, I'll fight him. Gary Antoine said, don't even worry about my brother. I'll fight you at 140.
Don't be like Mikey, dude.
No, he went to 147.
I'm going to say, but he went up, though. He shouldn't have went up. Should have stayed.
He went from 35 to 47. That's too big of a jump.
Should stay his lane. You know what I'm saying? Just stay in this lane.
It don't even matter. Devin Haney don't even matter.
We ain't got Mikey and Devin.
We are this close to Spence.
That's true, real talk.
And Crawford, that's all that matters right now in boxing.
You know what I'm saying? It is, though.
I mean, we're this close, but it could always fall apart. So
why you gotta do that?
I just don't get it until it's signed.
I respect that. Hey, we about to end this show, man. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. And check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, AmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Anyway, we appreciate you all for tuning in.
It's been a dope show, man. It's been
full
great
roster,
having,
man.
Yeah, having full roster, it man. Is, I'm always
I'm
happy
back
to
next
see
week
this
guy. As well. I'm back
cool,
next
man.
Week.
We ain't
That's
here.
What's up, man.
God so willing, I'll be here next week.
We
as
ain't
well.
Here early, man. But anyway, you've been listening to The Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.